Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast, hosted by author Michael DeCamp and his family. Recorded in the Cutter's Notch studios, this podcast explores anything related to creativity. You'll find interviews with creative people, such as authors, artists, and performers, as well as friendly banter about any number of topics. Turn up the volume, listen, and catch up on what's happening in Cutter's Notch.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cutter's Notch podcast. I'm your host, Michael DeCamp. I'm here with my co-host.
Ta-da! Nancy DeCamp.
Nancy DeCamp. And with us, I'm just going to go ahead and introduce our guests right off the bat. A lot of times we go through our other mishmash stuff, but I'm not going to do that today. I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest today. Our guest is Sierra Johnson. Did I get that right? Yes. And she is an artist.
Yes.
And I saw some of her work at Garfield Park recently, and I thought it was extraordinary.
Yeah, I liked it.
And so I thought, hey, let's see if she would be willing to come on to a podcast and talk about her work. And believe it or not, she said yes. So hello, Sierra.
Hi.
And Sierra brought with her a bright young star coming up in the ranks, her daughter. What's your name?
Michaela Johnson.
Michaela Johnson. Now, see, she's got some power behind her voice.
Yes.
Yeah. So, very good. Well, before we jump into creative indulgences, which is coming up in a moment, got a couple of announcements for those of you out there in the listening audiences. Audiences? I guess I got multiple audiences. Kind of like my multiple personality disorder. First of all, I will be appearing at the Christmas Gift and Hobby Show on November the 13th. I'll be one of the authors manning an author table. I think from 3:45 to whenever it ends that night. So if you all would like to come out and say hello, pick up a book, please come on out and see me. I'll even sign it for you if you want it. Or if you're like, don't write on my book, then that's okay too. No problem. Another thing, my Loving Out Loud book, I have started creating video episodes for each chapter, and those video episodes will be posted on YouTube. I have begun posting them. So right now there is an introduction and chapter one posted on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. So you guys search for Michael DeCamp. And if you want to not mix me up with the actor from Hollywood, there actually is, believe it or not, an actor named Michael DeCamp in Hollywood. He's a stuntman actor. If you don't want to mix me up with his stuff, then throw in Loving Out Loud and you'll find my stuff right off the bat. Or I guess you can search for Mike DeCamp. I think I'm in there under Mike.
Are you under Mike as well?
I'm under Mike DeCamp.
Okay.
And then I think the last thing is Nancy, we have a sponsor.
Yay.
We picked up a sponsor this week, Sierra.
Awesome.
And it's the Ash and Elm Cider Company on East Washington Street.
Love it.
And I am enjoying one of their Fleeting Youth. It's a raspberry and lemon cider. Oh, yeah. And because my youth is fleeting.
Your youth is fleeting.
My youth is fleeting. So I'm, Michaela, are you smiling at me?
Yes. She believes you. Yeah.
You can't have one of these, Michaela. You're not old enough, but man, their stuff is good. And they've got all kinds of flavors.
Unique flavors. They have some new fall flavors out now too.
Yes, they do. I'll be trying those here very soon. But check them out. Ash and Elm Cider Company, the official cider of the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Yay!
And they are located on East Washington Street, near East Washington Street. And they also have a restaurant. So
good food too. We've eaten there before.
I had a burger there last week. Exceptional. Very, very good. So check out Ash and Elm Cider Company in Indianapolis. And if you're listening somewhere else, I think you can look them up online. Ash and Elm CiderCo.com or something like that.
Make a trip.
Ash and Elm Indianapolis. Search it and you can find them. And I'm sure they'd be happy to send you some stuff. So that's the news for this particular episode. So now let's move on to our creative indulgences. Okay. So Nancy, what's your creative indulgence this week?
Well, this week I've got two things that I'm trying to be creative on. One is we decided let's do an Oktoberfest. So we're having some neighbors and some friends over next week. I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm trying to be creative to think, well, how will we'll have a meal together, but how will we do something fun? But the other thing I'm working on, and it's top secret, the church that we go to does like, has a preschool, and they do like a trunk or treat event every year for Halloween. And I have an idea of what our trunk and treat's going to look like, and it's going to be pretty awesome. So no big reveals, but I've been saving boxes. You know, you get stuff in the mail, Amazon or whatever, and you've got all these boxes. Usually we take them to recycling, and I had them in the back of our car to take it. And I was like, no, I need those boxes. So now I just got to get some spray paint and duct tape. And that's my creative indulgence process.
Somehow right I now. Feel like I'm going to probably be humiliated somewhere in this process.
I'm trying to be balanced. I'm not trying not to take you too far. So, but we might stretch your comfort zone a little bit.
You're going to dress me up, aren't you? Last year we were pirates.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, we had a pirate ship and we all had, you know, we were as the kids would come up. And
oh, you had a whole song. So you had me singing, singing and dancing. And
we were like, yo ho, yo ho.
Not my forte. Not my forte.
So more to come on that.
Yeah. Michaela, do you dress up for Halloween?
Yes.
What are you going to be this year?
I'm going to be a person named Talia from a show called Lolly Rock.
Nice.
Lolly Rock.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So would you say that's your creative indulgence or do you have another one?
I have another one.
Oh, let's hear it.
Well, I would like to be a fashion designer when I get older.
Okay.
Nice.
So I've started working on some designs.
Oh, okay.
I've also thought of a name.
What's that?
You want to tell us already or you want to reveal that or you want to keep that quiet?
It's going to be called MJ Star.
MJ Star.
Oh, I like it.
Ah, so one day, Nancy, you'll be wearing some MJ Star.
Yes, I will.
Designer stuff. Yeah, big time. Big time. I can see it coming. And then we'll have to have another episode just
with
Michaela.
Just to focus on the fashion. Yeah,
absolutely.
She's the real star of my family. I'm just trying to get it going.
I understand that. Yeah,
eventually, that will be the case.
Yeah, so. Definitely.
Well, I'm going to leave you for the last creative indulgence, and I guess I'll give mine. I have been reading still East of Eden by John Steinbeck. So that's a big book. Have you ever read that book?
No.
Okay.
I'm holding my fingers
up to show how wide it is.
I did the Cliff Notes in high school.
It's like, it's a big book. It's like I've got my fingers like 2 inches apart or something. It's a thick, thick book, but I'm still only maybe a third of the way in. Too much time doing other things and unable to read, but it's really a good book. So I'm still doing that, but I watched a movie last night and, if for those of you who maybe watch The Sopranos on HBO, which I wouldn't recommend for you, Michaela, you're not allowed to watch that show.
True. He doesn't recommend it for me either, so that's okay, Michaela.
but I watched they made a new movie, which is a prequel, and the interesting thing about it, you know, the main character in The Sopranos show was Tony Soprano, which was played by James Gandolfini, and James Gandolfini passed away a couple of years after the show ended. So he's been gone about 10 years. Well, they made this prequel movie about when he was a boy and when he was a teenager, and they got his son to play him as a teenager.
Gandolfini's son?
Gandolfini's son.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I watched it last night and I'm like, man, it's like watching, it really is like seeing a young Tony Soprano.
Kind of.
Because he's got the same facial features. He's got the same mannerisms, wow. The same voice.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty wild watching that. So I guess that's my creative indulgence. But for those of you out there who are offended by coarse language, that may not be your best choice because, well, let's just say it has a lot of that.
It has a lot of it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Sierra, how about yours? What's your creative indulgence for this episode?
Oh, it's funny you had brought up like crime dramas because we just finished watching The Wire. Michael K. Williams passed and he was Omar, a legendary performance.
Right.
And I had never seen it before. So, you know, it had us definitely binging super enraptured with his performance and just his whole philosophy as a character.
Yeah. I think I had seen him in some other things.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's, got a lot of performances. He was just in Lovecraft Country recently, which was an interesting ride as well.
You know, it's funny too, when you say binging, I mean, that's common, but before Netflix and such, we never talked about binging
right
on a show, but that's very common now, right?
I'm going to binge. I'm going to watch that show every week for the next 10 weeks.
Yeah. Or I'm going to watch all 7 episodes today, or, you know.
Yeah. Well, I know Lovecraft, didn't they canceled that, didn't they?
I think. Right. I don't think it's coming back for a second season.
Yeah. My friend Angela Jackson Brown, I think she posted something on Facebook about that. We had the author Angela Jackson Brown on a few months ago,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, it's been a while.
She released her new book, When Stars Rain Down. And I follow, and we're friends on Facebook, and she was posting about how upset she was that they'd canceled Lovecraft Country. So
that is the sad part, when you really get into a show or a series and then they're like, yeah, we're not doing it anymore. And you're like,
yeah, especially when they don't really bring it to a close.
Yeah. You know,
that's really frustrating.
Yeah.
How did you enjoy The Wire?
Oh yeah, it was definitely a great show. A really interesting drama. Right. Mr. Omar was one of my favorite characters, but then to see the different ways that the characters interacted and how each new generation of people was affected by, you know, the crime and the poverty and the interplay of all those factors was really interesting. I mean, it definitely had us enraptured.
Yeah.
I think I watched a few of those episodes early on, but where was that set?
It was set in Baltimore. Yeah, Baltimore.
Okay. I've been to Baltimore. Have you been to Baltimore?
No, I've never been there.
Yeah, I stayed right downtown, right across from the baseball stadium. So, it's a really beautiful city, but obviously not without some struggles, as are most cities.
You know, right?
Yeah. Right. So, well, let's move right on into, let's discuss what Sierra does. So maybe let's start. I don't know where to start. You have so many things. Nancy, you saw our website, and you saw our Facebook page.
And yeah. So how did you get, I guess the start is, how did you get started or interested in visual arts?
Oh, I've been drawing in things all my life. But I was born and raised in Indianapolis, so I went to School 70.
Yay. I'm an IPS student, so I know the numbers.
Yes. School 70, who had a fantastic arts program. Then I went to Shortridge and did visual arts and dance. Mm-hmm. And then I went to Bra Ripple, who had an incredible humanities program as well as visual arts. So I've got a fantastic public school education here in the city of Indianapolis.
Nice.
So I've been doing art all through school and my entire life.
And did you just do it because you just had to do it, or like, was mom encouraging you, or?
I don't remember not doing it. So I feel like it's something that is innate in me that I was born an artist.
Yeah.
When did you realize that? And what do you have a moment where it's like, wow, you know, I really want to do something with this. Do you have something like that?
Yes. I was sitting in art class sometime in middle school or like freshman year maybe. And I was like, this is the place where I feel most comfortable and most myself and most in my purpose. Like it just hit me.
That's
like
a ray sweet of light. Spot.
Yeah. That yeah. I, this yeah. is my sweet spot. Like it's everything you want to feel.
Yeah. Nice.
You got all up in the feels there. So you,
yeah.
So how did you start moving down the road? What were some of your steps along the way?
Well, I was lucky enough to have an arts education from, you know, early childhood. Mm-hmm. But I also had very encouraging family members, parents who had experience working in the arts and could kind of guide me and direct me. Mm-hmm. And I definitely tried to take their advice and follow the steps that they laid out for me. It's always been super helpful to me to have mentors. I have uncles who were draftsmen and worked in commercial arts. I was lucky enough to have a lot of Black female teachers in like literature and English. So they encouraged me to read and to study and to go pursue higher education. Not necessarily in education, but just to pursue more options outside of just a high school diploma.
Right.
My grandparents were super supportive as well. And then my mom and my dad both are artistic. So my dad draws and he's really into cars and like low riders and motorcycles and all of that sort of thing when I was younger. And then my mom sews. So she would make clothes and she crochets and would make us dolls and afghans and all kinds of wonderful things. So Michaela and I get it honest.
Yeah, Michaela, are you taking after your grandmama?
Yes.
So you're going to make clothes, but yours are going to be designer stuff with your logo on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Obviously, you've done some things where your creativity and your artistic efforts have been cultivated. What would you say now? How do you cultivate that continued creativity and growth now? Because I see you doing a lot of stuff. You got a lot of stuff out there. You are a busy person.
Yeah. I do a lot of different things.
Sure. Sure.
Really, once the pandemic and everything hit, it really forced me to decide what was really important in my life. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that like those things were my family and the arts, like top two. So that's kind of where it spurs from. It's almost like a life and death situation. Like I'm either gonna get after it or like I'm gonna go do something else. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you have to have a purpose for your living.
Mm-hmm.
And the arts is mine. So that helps me definitely like cultivate the motivation to like get out there as much as I do. And then creatively, I'm always experimenting. I love to go to other people's shows. I'm an art super fan. So
yeah.
I follow everybody on Instagram that I meet almost, and anybody whose work that I enjoy. I just kind of online follow and stalk a little bit.
Sure. Well, we're all stalkers online to a certain extent, right?
Well, Nancy's mostly a stalker.
I am mostly a stalker. I'm a stalker and I repost funny memes. That's all I do.
Yeah. I'll be watching the news, right? And it's one of the most devastating, terrible news stories that you might ever want to hear.
Yeah.
And from across the room, I hear, and I'm like, what are you laughing at? Can't look at that. And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at my phone.
Right.
And like throws me off.
Yeah.
Throws me off every time. So you went through Broad Ripple High School. You mentioned something about they encouraged you to get a higher education. Did you go for school for art somewhere beyond high school?
Yes. I was lucky enough to attend the School of the Art Institute of Chicago.
Oh, wow. That's great. It's a great school, right?
Yeah. It's fantastic. Right behind the museum. I went for fashion design. I was able to do that program.
So you were going to follow Michaela's footsteps before she had started
she
taking
didn't even
those
know
footsteps.
It. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Then what else happened?
I threw you off.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, I went to school in Chicago where I fell in love and started a family. And then I came back home to finish at Ivy Tech. So I have a visual, an associate's in visual communications from a hometown school.
Nice.
Awesome.
Nice.
Awesome.
What kind of artist, or how would you describe yourself as an artist?
I'm definitely a mixed media or interdisciplinary artist. I make a lot of different things, but they all kind of ebb and flow together. It jumps off from like illustration, kind of that formal arts education. So pen and paper. I do a lot of marker drawing with alcohol ink, which comes from Chicago. I did study fashion illustration there. So a lot of that gets put into the artwork as well. But then I also really love abstraction. So you see that in my art as well. I have a real love of just really vibrant colors. Like I love Rothko and Anton Barnett and all that good stuff.
I think that vibrant colors is what attracted me to your booth when you were set up at Garfield Park. Yeah, it just caught my eye because there were a couple other artists that were nearby, but you were the one I stopped to talk to. And and the man, the you very, very vivid colors, which my daughter does that. My daughter is a painter. I think I mentioned that to you when we were there, but she really uses a lot of vivid colors as well. But I loved how yours were vivid and sharp and laid out, but also I saw some abstract kind of shaping and things. And yes. So very, very good. So do you like that abstract? I think I was looking on your website and saw some of that as well. I also saw something about mythology.
Oh yes. I'm kind of a mythology nerd. It's definitely a hobby of mine. And I love all kinds of mythology, Greek, African. I love zodiac imagery. I've been dabbling into more like South American and Latin American countries lately. I love Eastern philosophy as well. I was raised in a Christian household, but we were always encouraged to read and explore and know the history of things and not just take things at face value. So we were always introduced to all sorts of cultures in my house.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Have you found, as you've studied and looked at all the different areas that you have you found a common theme throughout? Or do you think have you seen a lot of differences?
It's, for me, I see a lot of repeating themes, definitely. There's definitely universal themes and I feel like universal principles out there. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the golden rule.
Yeah.
So I think that humans are way more similar than they are different by far.
Right, like, right.
We get stuck on the petty things a lot.
Right.
Yeah. And it's, for me, it's much easier just to get involved at a level of just like trying to love each other, which sounds corny, but also it's super true. Like I'm always here to hug it out.
Right.
To kumbaya and hug it out.
I don't think that's corny at all. I think that really is,
it is a universal.
It's a universal. And I think it's if we all would really take that seriously, you know, loving one another.
Yeah.
It would change everything. It really would.
Yeah, it really would. Like on an individual level, but also like at the macro level, if we would just remember to love each other, that like we're not that far apart.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Despite the differences that are out there, those differences really aren't that.
Well, and it's funny too. You'll see two people maybe get into an argument and they're just going at it and you're sitting there watching it and you're thinking, you guys are saying the same thing. Right. You're just saying it. You just need to stop and listen.
So what's your favorite of all the different things that you're involved with? What's your favorite?
That's so hard to say.
Today. We'll say today. It doesn't have to be for all time or... It could change tomorrow, right?
I want it to be for all time.
You want it to be for all time?
I'm just kidding.
my permanent favorite thing. That would be impossible.
No, it changes with the day. I know. Yeah. I'm the same way. So.
Right. Well, artistically or what I'm involved with? Because there.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm involved with Arts for Lawrence. I'm on their Visual Arts Center committee. And we're having our gallery grand opening October the 15th.
Okay.
So I would love for people to come out and come see the exhibit. We've been working really hard to put together a great show for you. We're going to be hanging early next week. So we're super excited for that.
What day is October the 15th?
It's a Friday. It's when you get back in town.
So a week from
yesterday.
Okay. So this thing comes out. This episode will probably release the day after that opens. So
okay.
How long is it just that night? How long will the show be there?
I believe until mid-November.
Well, there you go. You might miss the opening party, but
y'all can
carry
still
it on.
Go.
Yeah.
And you should go. So give us the name and location of it again.
It's at Arts for Lawrence on the Fort Bend Cultural Campus. So right on Indy's East Side off 56 and like Franklin.
They're doing so much out there.
They are. It's really great to see the East Side really growing.
Yes, yes.
I live close to Lawrence, so it's great for me to have a home right there.
Yeah.
Well, you have some works hanging?
Yes. I submitted three. So we're going to hang, and I believe all three will be up, but we'll see
what's
best for the show.
Awesome.
So I had a question, though, about exhibitions. And I knew the answer at one point in time in my life, but I know I don't remember it now. A juried exhibition. What's different about a juried exhibition from a non-juried exhibition?
A non-juried exhibition doesn't have like a panel of judges or a selections committee, but one that is juried does. So somebody goes through the artwork and decides what's going to be in the show.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Michaela, do you think one day that maybe you might try your hand at some drawing and painting and stuff like your mom?
Mm-hmm.
So what's your favorite stuff that she does?
I like the necklaces she makes.
Are those, did you make those?
Yes.
You didn't tell us about that. We'll have to come back to that.
Wearing one right now.
You made that one? Nice.
Your mom made that.
Okay.
Very nice.
Again,
very
nice. For the lack of visual people out there, they're really pretty vibrant colors, circles with leather. Oh, and she's got one here where it's twisted wire into a shape. Very cool.
I like it.
Thank you.
I like it.
It's a new thing I'm trying.
You know, I've only ever really worn one piece of homemade jewelry. It was one of my high school buddies. It's terrible. You'd probably get in trouble. If I were in high school today, I wouldn't be allowed to wear it. But it was the guy went to shooting ranges and collected the shells and drilled holes in them and turned them into a leather strung necklace.
Bullet necklace thing.
There. Huh. So mm-hmm. I'm sure if you went to school with that today, you'd be like told to take it off. But
now, you've given me an idea for my Oktoberfest now. Awesome. I think I need to make pretzel necklaces, like yarn with a bunch of little pretzels on it, so people could snack on it. Right?
Yeah, those are great.
We might. Guess.
I'm looking at her with a weird look.
You could do like chocolate and yogurt. You could do mixed ones.
Oh yeah,
it'd be a
sprinkles. Even
it would be really hot. Right. If you made chocolate and all that, it'd be a really hot day,
those candy necklaces? I think they still have them. That it is candy. It's almost like little Smarties on it.
The resident expert's probably Michaela on what
on the
do
candy?
They make the Smartie little candy necklaces? Still?
It's like on an elastic thing, and you would eat the candy, but then of course the side ones you didn't eat would get a little moisture from your mouth, and then that necklace would stick to your neck.
Yeah. Michaela's looking at you like you're crazy now.
Back in the day, Michaela. Back in the day, we had candy necklaces, and they were tasty, but they were horrible because you'd end up with a sticky, sugary neck.
So you make jewelry.
Yes.
So let's talk about the scope of that. How did you get into that, and what do you make? And do you sell those at your exhibitions and things?
I do. I just started selling them. Well, I had been experimenting with it a few years ago. Then I kind of like put it off to the side. But recently I did. I started selling them at my vendor events. They're wooden discs, like craft discs that you can get anywhere. And they're glued together. And then I sand them down and do my texture technique on the disc. And then I use a little pinch bail to do it. And then for this one, I twisted the wire myself. So it's like a little tiny sculpture. And then I braid the leather cord by hand.
Very nice.
Did you do that while you're binging?
Yeah. Right.
I do. Watching a show, right? Mm-hmm. Nice.
Very, very good.
Thank you.
What else are you doing creatively besides the painting and the jewelry and supporting the arts? What else are you into? Because Nancy says you're like super busy. So what else are you
into? Well, I'm doing vendor events. Tomorrow I will be downtown at the Fall Arts Market, but this will come out after that.
Yeah. Too late, folks. You missed that one.
When I'm not vending or painting, or making jewelry, I teach art classes at 10 East. Well, I was able to assist my friend Angelita while she's teaching her art classes. She's got a wonderful series, Going Card Art Well, where we teach a variety of art skills in the scope of wellness. So definitely come check us out and register. It's a 20-person limit for the class. But we would love for you to come out and love to see you guys there as well.
So how do you... How do you make the connection between art and wellness? What's the approach or thought around that?
Well, I mean, art is therapeutic. There's been lots of studies and things like that, but I just, from my experience, it's been a way to express my humanity in the way that's most natural to me. Mm-hmm. I think it's really human to make things and to like decorate your space and adorn yourself. It's a natural instinct that people have is to create. So I think that when you tap into that, you tap into something really powerful that's emotional, but also stimulates the mind and the actual like physical brain. And then also like it helps flow through your body, because to make something with your hands is different than to make something on the computer or, you know, to type something out. It's more tangible.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
You can feel it.
You know, it's funny that you say that. As a girl, I was required to take piano lessons. And Michaela, I don't know if you have to do chores, but when I came from school, it was do my chores, do my homework, and I had to practice the piano. And my mom would say, I could always tell what kind of day you had by how you hit those piano keys.
There it is.
She'd be like, okay, Nancy's had some stuff going on at school today. Another time she'd be like, oh, she's happy. She's in love. She's what, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's funny. My mom said that she could always tell what kind of day I had based on how my piano practice went.
Yeah, absolutely. You can always tell, especially with abstracts, like what mood I was in based on like what ends up on the canvas. Mm-hmm. I try to finish them, like I don't put a time limit on them, but like in a certain period of time, like in a certain mood. Like if I feel myself changing, I try to get that thought finished. Mm-hmm. Because it really is like a capture of like an emotional state.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I would say from my own experience. And then, like I said, one of our daughters, is a visual artist, but it is something that she needs to do. Sometimes she just needs to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has her day job and other things going on, but sometimes she just needs to.
I think she termed it, recently, paint it out.
Paint it out instead of hug it out. Is there a particular mode or, you know, that you don't like working with? You know, whether it's oils or acrylics or watercolors or.
No, not really. Even ones that I struggle with, then it's like a fun challenge. Like, can I master it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, can I conquer this thing that I'm struggling through? It's not. Like, I never feel like it's a complete failure, especially with art stuff. It's sure. Always like a lesson. Like, oh, well, this next time I do this, I'm gonna do it differently. Like I remember in college, I had a partner project my freshman year, and we tried to build a giant frame to frame the lakefront, which we did build it and get it down there. But also it was terrible. It was terrible. But then we ended up making like a film or like a photo project about the fact that it was terrible. So that's how like my approach to art is as well, is that like, even if it ends up terrible, like
you learn from it.
You learn from it. You, mm-hmm, you get to document an experience that you're having.
Mm-hmm. So you're young.
So am I. I don't know why they're laughing, but
I didn't laugh.
Because you live with me and you're wise.
I'm too smart to laugh to that. But you've got your future ahead of you. Nobody knows how long that is, mm-hmm, but what do you hope to one day? What do you hope to accomplish with your art looking forward? That's an abstract question. So if you struggle with it, I understand, but.
I was recently thinking about this. I was asked to think about this.
Well, you just got asked again.
I know.
That's a sign.
Ultimately, my art is a method of manifestation or a vehicle for change. changes that I want to see in the world. It's a way for me to imagine the world better from my perspective. So that's what the ultimate purpose is to put my work out there and hope that it has a positive impact on people who view it, that it motivates them to act with empathy and compassion and love and encourages them to, you know, hug it out as much as they can, you know, with safety in mind, wear your masks.
Right.
Thank you.
Very good.
How would, you know, you said that you had a lot of support, you know, you got it in the DNA, you had uncles and you've had strong teachers that were an influence. How do you think your art might have, or where you're at with your art would have been different had you not had that kind of support and mentoring?
I don't know if I'd be doing art per se. If I hadn't had that type of encouragement and education, I'm sure I'd still be creative, but it wouldn't have the same type of focus that it has now. Having those people in your life and having that support, having people lay the groundwork for you is invaluable, because I'm sure a lot of people, I know a lot of people paint as a hobby, or they think about it, or they watch YouTube videos.
Right. Bob Ross.
Right. Bob Ross. And they don't have the opportunity to share it or really explore it. And I'm blessed because I have a map to have it in my life every day.
Yeah.
And I know the power that it has. And one of my purposes is to bring the power of creativity into people's lives every day. I hate to say you should, because I hate to be like, you should.
Yeah, yeah.
But you should be making something every day. And it doesn't have to be painting or drawing, but make some food or make some music or dance in your kitchen or outside in your yard. Like, you know, just take a minute out your day to not, you know, chase profits or anything like that. Just to be human, to like shake it out.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
You used to tell me, Nancy used to say something along the lines of creatives got to be creating.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? For sure.
I think that's the truth.
Well, and I think that that's one area, whether it's music or visual arts or anything along the different disciplines, that isn't always encouraged, right? Because we're in this capitalist society, regardless of what you think of it. So we're always thinking about, well, what do I got to do for a career or for a job or to support my family? And we don't pause to touch into that. And that was one of the things that struck me, not physically, but one of the things that struck me when we were raising our daughters, who are both very creative, is there is a scripture that says, train up a child in the way they should go and they will not depart from it. And it just struck me as like, in the way they should go, what's in their DNA?
Right.
What have they been? Is that, can I foster and encourage that creative process? Or, you know, maybe they're a great athlete, or maybe they're really good at math, you know, you know, but what do you foster? What have I been created for and bring good into the world? You know?
Right.
It's just something to ponder there, I guess.
Michaela, what do you think about your mom's art?
I think it's amazing in that it has many different meanings. And overall, it's just really good art. And I think that's where I got my love for fashion designing and creating from.
That's a good place to get it from.
Yeah.
Very good place.
Well, I think it might be time. Well, before we do the random questions, I think that's coming up.
Okay.
I don't know. We didn't tell you that, Sierra.
Oh, no, but that's okay.
Oh, I might have mentioned to her, but I told her she wouldn't be alone, that we could all answer.
So in front of you are two boxes. One's a clear Tupperware box with 16 questions that I made up. They're just random questions. And then this is a box of like 1,000 random questions.
like conversation starters.
And you can choose which box you want to pull from. But what we do is we have you pull a random question, and then we all get to answer it, starting with you.
Okay.
And so we're going to do that in just a moment. But before we do that, why don't you take a moment, tell people where they can find your stuff.
Absolutely.
What's your contact? I mean, I've got some of it right here in front of me, but I want to give you a chance. So what, where do they find your art? Where do they find your work if they want to look at your website, things like that?
The best place to find all of my things is cjcrtv.com. That's my site. It's kind of what I use as a hub for all of the different things that I'm doing. I'm overdue for a post, but that is the best place to find me. And then if you want to find me on Instagram and Facebook, you can add me at CJCRTV. I'm Sierra Johnson Creative.
And it's Sierra is spelled
C-I-E-R-R-A.
Because that's a little different than what I thought when I heard your name. It's not what I automatically thought. So they should note that.
Very good. Very good. So anything besides the ones that you already mentioned coming up, that like events that people could find you at besides the ones you already mentioned?
Oh, yes. Let's see. I have events coming up in November. Well, currently I'm up at the Sullivan Muntz Cultural Center in Zionsville with Flavor Fresh. And then we also have work up in my old neighborhood.
Nice.
at the North College Avenue Library. And it means so much to me to have work up in the library. That's over
cool.
there.
That's cool.
Yeah, super cool. So go over there to those two spots and take a look. And then there's voting at the North College Avenue Library. So vote for me. what else is going on? Flavor Fresh. I already talked about Arts for Lawrence. Mm-hmm. Oh, and then in November, I have Shop VIP, which is at the VIP Business Center for Women, which is right in the center of the city. I'm excited to be back there again this year. And then I'll also be doing the Autumn Art Fair, at the Garfield Park Arts Center. I show out there pretty often, and I'm excited to be doing their art fair this year for the first time.
They do some really neat things there.
I wonder if maybe we've seen some of her art there
before. It's possible when we've gone in there and just not really
Our daughter has had art in that art fair, and you know, perhaps you even were at the same art fair
maybe,
together.
Maybe. I grew up near that area, so okay. we go to a lot of different events there.
Yeah.
And definitely, if you try to get out, but if you can't, definitely check the online stuff. You yes. have a lot of really cool stuff.
She has an Etsy shop too, right?
Yeah. Yes, I have an Etsy as well. Same thing, CJCRTV on Etsy. And then you can find that through my website. It's all linked.
Very, very good. And Kayla, what you got any final words? Any advice for your mom?
No, I think she's doing pretty well.
Okay, good, good.
I think your daughter well, right?
I think you like your mom. You like your mom, don't you?
I love her. That's good.
Oh, no, that's sweet.
I love you too, baby.
All right, so which one of these random questions are you going to pull from? Which one of the boxes?
I'm going to pull from the box you made.
Okay. Shake it up.
Shake it up. Shake it up. Pull one out.
You get to read it, and then you get to go first.
Okay.
And then we got to put it back in, so don't tear it up and swallow it or anything.
Ooh, this is a good question. Cats or dogs, and why? Cats. Cats mind their business. I've always enjoyed the company of cats. I had a dog growing up, but I think part of the reason I don't have one now is because the dog required too much attention.
Yeah, they do.
And I keep advocating for us to get a cat off and on, and I keep being voted out.
She's been voted off
She's
the
been
island.
She's been voted off the island, yeah, yes. Yeah.
Also, I'm a Leo, so.
Oh.
Cats. So that's a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A Except my dog is named Leo.
Oh, see?
So in that case,
he acts Leo's like a dog. Cat sometimes.
Yeah, he does. Climbs up on the furniture and everything.
He's like on the back. He goes on the back of the sofa and stuff. Like just like a cat.
He's
a
cutter's notch guard dog.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, Michaela? Are you cats or dogs? Or and why?
I'm cats because same reason as mom. They mind their business. Also, they like to sleep in the afternoon, and so do I.
So you got a napping buddy.
Yes. But the sad thing is, I'm allergic to cats.
Aww.
Oh, well, see, that's tough.
Now, we had a friend who was allergic to cats, but they were able to research and to test, like they would go and visit, and they finally found one that he was. Now, everybody's allergies are different, but they just got a cat.
So. I have an idea. Sierra, you could get a hairless cat.
I could get a hairless cat.
Yeah. Well, they're the scariest, weirdest looking creatures in the world. It's really obvious. But Michaela would not be allergic to that cat.
Maybe.
Huh.
Maybe not.
They really are creepy looking, though. I got to tell you, whenever you get a chance, go into Google and Google hairless cat. They're creepy. Creepy looking.
It's spooky season, though.
Yeah. It would be a good time to go look at it.
Wow.
Just go look at it.
I like it.
Not have it in your house.
Nancy, cats, dogs, or why?
I will say dogs.
That's a shock.
I know. My family knows. I've never been a cat person, although there is one particular cat. Well, a couple cats. Our oldest daughter has her cat. Our youngest daughter has a lot of neighborhood cats that they've all been really friendly. And so I've learned to like some cats. I like dogs because they are always excited to see you. To your point, they do take a lot more maintenance. They do acquire a lot more of your attention, but you could be mad at them and yell. And the next second they just, I love you. I love you. I'm just so, and that I joke with Mike. Sometimes I come home and you know, the Leo's like so excited to see me. I'm like, you don't greet me like that. And he'll jump up and act like he's the dog and to greet me. But yeah, they just always, I like their positive affirmations, I guess.
Well, I've only ever had dogs, but I would say that I love them both equally.
He's been voted off the island on the cat thing.
Yeah, I wanted a cat early on, and Nancy's like, no, I don't want no cat in my house. And then I said, how about a dog in the house? I don't want no dog in my house.
And guess what? Now we have, I voted her off the island on that one.
So we now have a dog in the house. But my folks never had cats. And, you know, a couple of friends of family had cats. And I loved their cats. Used to go play with their cats. But never had one of my own. But
that could be an influence, too. If you didn't grow up with a grand cat over there at
Angela's house.
But if you didn't grow up with cats and you grew up with a dog, you might have more of that tendency and vice versa.
I suppose that's possible, but I'd be just fine with having a cat. I like cats. So, all right. Well, hey, we've settled that question. And so you prefer cats and you need that to be voted in.
Yes, okay. I would like to. Well, I mean, I can't because Moodle is allergic. Except for the hairless cat.
Then she might be traumatized.
There may be some other kinds of cats that are low dander that maybe you could get. That would take some research. But hey, don't let me influence you. You be you.
I'm going to bring it up again.
Hug it out with a cat.
I want a cat. I'm going to go home and start that up again.
Great. We're going to be responsible for causing discord in the family.
Yeah. I'm going to be hearing about that somewhere. But hey, you be you.
Right. Let's find the commonality.
Right.
The pets bring love into the world.
That's right.
Right.
And claws.
I could just get a fish.
That's an idea.
It stays in its...
So you got to clean that water.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's yucky. In my life, I've had fish a couple of times. I've had a turtle. My sister killed that. Thank you, my sister. She went to clean the turtle's area, and you would take the turtle out and put it in a big, like a thing of big thing of water while you cleaned the regular one out. Cause normally there's like just a little bit of water and a place for it to crawl out. So she put it in the big thing and forgot about it. And so it swam until I had no more strength to swim.
Oh, that's sad.
So she killed my turtle.
That's so sad.
And then I had a parakeet. And then I had a hamster. Guess what my hamster's name was?
I know.
You will have no idea who this person is.
Maybe Nick at Night.
You might.
Nick at Night might.
Yeah. Fonzie.
Oh.
You. Yeah. Except after I named him Fonzie, I was embarrassed. And so I changed his name to Arthur, which is Arthur Fonzarelli. Anyway. And then I've had, how many dogs we had now? Four or five. So somewhere in there. Or I've had.
You've had about five. Yeah.
Yeah. So no cats, though. Just a grand cat.
I've heard, you know what? From an artistic standpoint, I have heard that that is big business. To paint or draw pictures of people's animals. Is it really? Yeah.
I know people who.
They specialize in just do that?
Just do pet portraits.
Yeah.
Wow.
And people will pay lots of money for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, folks. I think we are running out. We're rattling on.
We're rattling on now.
Time to. That's where you get the whiteboard out and say, wrap it up. Time to wrap it up. So, thank you, Bill White, here for the work that you're going to do. And thank you. Bill White here is our post-production kind of guy. And then folks, if you're listening out there and you want to leave a review, I would appreciate it. So as long as it's a good review, if it's a really negative review about us rattling on, then maybe keep that to yourself.
Maybe just email us and let us know to quit doing that.
That's right. Go check out Sierra's website, which again is cjcrtv.com.
Yes.
What's the TV part?
Partially it's so that you can watch. But also, it's Sierra Johnson Creative. I just took out the vowels.
Okay.
For SEO reasons.
That makes sense. But yeah, I see you also have a YouTube.
Yes.
So we didn't even touch that.
Yeah. I don't have anything up there yet. It's parked. I want to do instructional videos.
Oh, that's when you get that ready. Let's come back and have another talk.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. Well, folks, thank you very much for visiting us on this episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast. Sierra, thank you for being here. Michaela, we're going to have you back on talking about your big time stuff coming up. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for joining in. And
we can say we knew you when.
That's right. Can you autograph something before you leave?
Sure.
So, folks, thanks again. And we'll see you next time on the Cutter's Notch podcast.
Cutter's Notch podcast is available through most podcast listing providers. New episodes drop approximately twice a month. You can email Michael at authormichaeldecamp@gmail.com. Michael DeCamp is the author of two novels, Abandoned Hope, Cutter's Notch Book 1, and Nozomi's Battle, Cutter's Notch Book 2. A collection of short stories entitled Cutter's Notch Interludes, and one nonfiction Christian devotional book entitled Loving Out Loud, Learning to Love in a Hate-Filled World. All books can be found on Amazon or ordered from your local bookseller. Please join us again on the next episode of the Cutter's Notch podcast.